Dialectical Behavior Therapy was created in the 1980s by Marsha Linehan in Seattle, Washington.
Today, DBT is taught all over the world.
We're two therapists who believe everyone can benefit from DBT skills.
I'm Kate.
I'm Michelle.
And this is DBT and Me.
Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Welcome to Q&A 57.
I didn't even try and think about what to do for the number 57. Heinz 57? It's tomato sauce, I guess.
I give up on numbers. I just give up on them.
That's fair.
All I know is that this 57th Q&A has been a long time coming to all of
That's
you.
That's true.
It's been a minute since we recorded a Q&A.
Word. It's true. Life has been a lot.
It has been a lot. So personally, I'm pretty excited that we're getting back into recording a Q&A today and hopefully getting it released pretty soon since it has been so long. And Kate, you get to kick us off today.
All right. So the first thing we have in here today reads, "Coming here was a last resort. I struggle to enjoy anything I used to. I've lived alone for a very long time, so I'm lonely. Every time I open up to someone, I get hurt, so I don't. I have lived a life of regret. I used to have goals, but I don't anymore. I've worked in retail for a very long time, so I despise people. I have no motivation because why bother? None of it seems to matter anyways. I was diagnosed with major depressive disorder and persistent depressive disorder, but the doctor that diagnosed me looked like he couldn't care less, so I don't know if that's correct. And even the idea of turning 42 this year isn't something I feel like celebrating. And the idea of going on like this for 20 more years is bleak. I probably need meds, but I don't have the time or money to try a bunch of them to find out what works with the added problem of me being drug resistant. Everything they have tried makes me angrier than a sack of badgers. And I can't be angry like that at work."
Yeah. The thing that went through my mind reading this listener's post is, this is a term that I use a lot. I don't know if other people use this term a lot, but I think of the term survival mode. Sometimes we're in survival mode, I don't know, for a day or a week. Sometimes we're in survival mode for years, where we're literally just existing day to day. You're just going through the motions. It feels like nothing is moving forward in your life. You feel just completely and utterly stuck. Yeah, like you're just existing. You're just surviving. And that's what came to me reading what this listener wrote. I mean, one, they described, I think a lot of people can probably relate to how they feel and the things that they mentioned in their post, but I just got this sense so strong. I was like, wow, they've been in survival mode for a long time and they have no clue how to get out. And it's really what they're looking for, is a way out of this kind of existence where everything just feels super, super hopeless and like nothing's going to change. And the tricky thing about being in a place like this, especially when you've been there for a long time, is that I believe in the principle of nothing changes if nothing changes. Or, you know, what's that expression that we have out there? You know, doing the same thing over and over again
and expecting different results.
Yeah, that expression, right? It's called, you know, that's the definition of insanity or that kind of a thing, right? If your day-to-day life looks exactly the same, if you're doing the same thing every single day, then yeah, nothing is really going to change. Of course, life around you is changing, but nothing is changing within your life or the decisions that you're making. And so the only way out is to find something to change. And I don't want to make that sound like that's an easy or small feat, because that's very, very difficult. It's really hard to find something to change when this is the place that you're at. So as far as how can you get started on making a change? I actually thought of a piece of DBT that we rarely talk about. on the podcast. And I had to look back in my DBT manual. And I was like, where does it talk about this? But it really talks, there's a little section in the emotion regulation module that talks about how to really start living in alignment with your values and creating a life worth living. I think it's in the context of the A.
Of ABC.
From ABC.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's where it starts talking about it. But listener, for where you can find this, I wrote down in my notes, emotion regulation handout 17 and 18. Just Google that. Type that into Google. It'll pull up the worksheets for you. But what those two worksheets do, handouts 17 and 18, is that they walk you through how to pick something you value and then how to break that down into tangible steps. And this is important because a lot of times what will happen is that we will set an end destination, but we have no idea how to get there. We'll do this a lot sometimes. And this listener even said it. They said, I used to have goals, but I don't anymore. We have that experience where we think something like, I don't know, I want to get a new job, for example, right? You set some kind of goal. You decide on something you want to change, but you have no, I guess you could say like GPS on how to do that. And so then you start trying, like you head off down a path trying to make that change happen, but it turns out to be a dead end or something goes wrong or gets in your way. And then you're like, screw it. And then it feels even more hopeless and then you don't want to try again. But what these worksheets do actually in a really great way is that they walk you through breaking down into steps how you're going to get from where you are now to that goal that you have. And it wants you to pick a goal that's really in line with something you value. And DBT has a really great list of values to pick from. So that's what I was sensing is that this listener is wanting to create a life worth living, but they don't know how anymore. And I'm hoping, even though, again, it's a very small thing. I know it's not, of course, going to, Rome wasn't built in a day. Like, it's not going to solve everything. It's not going to magically make depression go away or anything like that. That's not the goal. But the goal is to help you feel like maybe some kind of change could be within reach and hopefully have you open up to trying to change something again and then seeing what happens. So I hope those two handouts will be helpful. That's where my brain went.
I like it. You're right. I don't think we emphasize, especially like, because that's the like long term, right? Like improving, mm-hmm. building a life worth living in the long term. And we don't focus exactly on that aspect of the A even very often. Mm-hmm. So no, you're right about that. That's a good one to lean into. I just wanted to start off by really validating how incredibly terrible a burden persistent depression is. As someone who has been there, done that, makes it sound like it's past tense. Someone who also struggles with something in that vein. I just wanted to normalize how incredibly difficult that is, along with anhedonia, which is the technical term for that lack of joy and lack of interest that the listener talks about experiencing. I really think that that can often be one of the hardest symptoms of depression, and in fact tends to be the thing that gets me most likely to urge someone to consider medications just because the effects can be so insidious. So I just wanted to say how much I feel empathy for the listener and wanted to validate the heck out of how bleak that might feel to be facing the idea of that. So love Michelle's ideas. Also, I just wanted to say that reading the comment from the listener, there's a couple of, I think, I don't know, sort of thought traps, I think, that perhaps I see you falling into that I was hoping might be able to put some insight into looking at things from a little bit of a different perspective. One of them is a listener says that every time they open up to someone, they get hurt, so they don't. I would challenge you, listener, to consider whether you could also honestly say that every time you open up to someone, you experience joy and a sense of connection or something of that ilk. My guess is that you can, Like, one of the things that I hear a lot from folks, right, is that anytime they're feeling good, they don't want to lean into that because they know they're just going to feel bad again, which is true, right? Like, life goes up and down. So if you're up, you're going to face a down again. Like, that shit isn't going to last. That is 100% accurate reflection of reality. And it's perhaps not the most helpful place to focus, because the other thing that's true is when you're down, there's probably going to be an up again, right? If life goes up and down, then which way are we focusing? Are we focusing that when we're up, we're going to experience a down again? Or are we focusing that when we're down, we're going to experience an up again? Right? Both things are totally accurate and honest reflections of the world. But where are we focusing? Right? And just which one we choose to point more of our attention at has a huge impact. Right? Life is full of dialectics. That's the D, right? Woohoo! Go DBT, right? Like, we can probably find something wrong or bad or unpleasant in most things, in most situations in life. But what really ends up mattering is which part of the dialectic do we choose to focus on, right? Do we choose to focus on the things that we can find that are wrong or hard or bad or difficult in any given situation? Or do we focus on, you know, some of the things that are more pleasant, that are more positive, that are, happier, really? Because both exist, right? The good and the bad both exist. So where do we choose to put our attention? As far as DBT skills go, I'm going to lean in really hard into saying you could use mindfulness, followed by check the facts, right? Mindfulness, in order to stay in the present and try and stay as non-judgmental as possible of yourself, of your circumstances, of the people around you, right? Judgments can weigh heavy on us when we're living in them a lot. So trying to back out of that space of judgment and back out of the projection of the future or the experience of the past and instead be in the present. And check the facts in order to ground yourself in what's real and in how to cope, how you'd cope if things really do go really badly with things like trying meds or things like that, right? Seeing how you would move through the difficulty if it goes that way. So those are my DBT skills that I would lean into.
Nice. Really appreciated how you talked about dialectics there.
Thanks.
Yeah.
They're important.
They are very important. Yes. This one says, is there a skill that has helped with self-hate, or is that more of a psychotherapy thing to figure out?
I like this question. Also entertaining, because apparently the A of ABC is going to get a lot of attention in this particular Q&A, which is funny. But
nice.
I would say to this listener that I would perhaps consider working on self-hate to be a more of a psychotherapy thing, like in quotes. Like, if I were to say it's this or that, if I had to pick, I guess I would lean a little bit harder into it being a psychotherapy thing. That said, I do think there are a couple of skills that can be really helpful in supporting you in that work. So both the A and the B, actually, of ABC, I think, and also self-soothing. So the A, because intentionally doing things that make you happy or doing things that bring your life more into alignment with your values, basically doing those actions, taking those actions, tells you that you think you're worth doing that for, right? It shows you that you're worth your own effort when you put effort towards yourself, right? That creates a feedback loop of sorts. Plus, doing things that are in alignment with your values and or pleasant just helps improve your outlook, right? It helps improve your mood, helps make you more resilient, and all of those things can help with self-hate as well. And the B, because of build mastery, because building mastery, there we go, boosts self-worth, right? Engaging in activities that we're good at doing, where we feel self-confident, right? When we feel skilled, things like that all help to counterbalance self-hate. And last but never least, because I can't believe I went even one answer without mentioning self-soothing, right? Self-soothing really does the same thing as the A of ABC, I would say here, which is treating yourself with that tenderness, with that kindness, right, with that softness and soothing is a message to yourself that you're worth that, right, that you deserve to be comforted, that you're worth treating tenderly. So I would say that all of those are, well, that's funny, I was going to say kinds of ways of opposite action, but I'll shut up because I can see that Michelle's about to mention that. perhaps didn't read your notes well enough before putting mine into
It's all good. I was just thinking the same thing. I was like, Kate is breaking it down right here, because this is exactly how to do the opposite action for self-hatred, is everything you're describing. So it sounds pretty
nice. I'm shutting up and passing it on to you. That was all I was going to say. So on to you, Michelle.
All right. Yeah, no, that's what I was thinking as you were talking. I was like, this is actually great because, yes, one of the there were two skills I thought of. Opposite action was one of them. And, yes, you're giving really good examples of how to specifically practice opposite action for self-hatred. Yep. ABC, great way to practice opposite action for self-hatred. Self-soothing. Fantastic. And if you want more ideas, you know, one way that you could break this down for yourself is if you're able to really look at, okay, when I'm feeling that self-hatred, then what do I tend to do when I feel that? What does it look like when I'm experiencing self-hatred? And then with whatever things you list, let's say you list three things. With each of those three things, yep, what would be the opposite of what I could do? And you can brainstorm some ideas that way. Because I realized, too, I was also actually really leaning into dialectics here. And my answer, the same way you were for the last one, because opposite action truly embraces dialectics really beautifully, right? You can be feeling self-hatred towards yourself. And you can decide to do something different than what you would normally do with that feeling. It's not about making the feeling go away, but it is about making an effective choice that's going to better serve you and not making what's already, you could say, like a bad or hard or challenging situation worse. Because it is hard and challenging to be feeling that self-hatred. And it's just a way to kind of prevent a further spiral into it. And to see if you can make a decision that's going to be of better service to you. So yes, opposite action was definitely one I was thinking of. The other one I was thinking of skills-wise is that I think willingness is a great skill to use for, again, kind of as, I guess, a way of opposite action for self-hatred a little bit. Because what I like about willingness is that it's about working with what is without putting on that layer of how we think things should be. Because when we get really focused on how we think things should be, then we're moving into willfulness. When we're in a willing state of looking at what is, then that opens us up to new experiences and new choices that we could make and that kind of a thing. And the way that I see that playing into self-hatred is that my guess is that when you're in that self-hatred headspace, right? We talk about this with what willfulness looks like somebody just crossing their arms and saying, I don't wanna, right? You're not going to be feeling positively about yourself, and there's probably going to be more of a focus on self-judgment and criticizing yourself and focusing on everything that's not working or focusing on all of your flaws. And then when you take a more willing approach, it's making that shift into, okay, let me drop some of those judgments and let me try to look at just the facts of what is. Maybe the fact is that, yes, I did forget to do that thing yesterday. I did. I forgot it. But rather than getting really hard on myself about that and beating myself up, I can say, okay, so what does today look like? And what was the true impact of forgetting that thing? Things are maybe okay in spite of me forgetting that thing. Okay, let me try to regroup and focus on what's happening in the here and the now and how I can move forward with today, right? It can look like that a little bit. So yeah, I think there are definitely skills that can help with this topic of self-hatred. Psychotherapy too, right? Dialectics, skills, and psychotherapy.
Exactly.
But yeah, definitely some skills that could get you started on the right track, I think.
Nice. All right, this one's short but sweet. It says, hi, would anyone have a recommendation for an online DBT group, something with lower costs? Does DBT and Me provide anything similar to that?
Yeah, so we, Kate and I, DBT and Me, we as the podcast don't, but we have some good options for you. So since you're open to an online DBT group, we are well acquainted with the person who runs onlinedbtcourses.com. She has a couple great offerings on that website, and you mentioned wanting something with lower costs. So out of the different options that she has on that website, the lowest cost one is a self-paced option. So it's like a self-paced DBT course. And so that could be a really great thing to look into. I'll repeat it, onlinedbtcourses.com. And also in the Facebook group, there are people who sometimes post about having like free peer support groups. We love getting the word out about those to the members of the Facebook group. So we do see people post that sometimes. That's going to be less about learning the skills from scratch. There's going to probably be more of an assumption that you already know some of what DBT is, but it's a great way to keep you in community with other people wanting to intentionally use DBT in their lives and just help keep you fresh, you could say, on using the skills. So there are things like that definitely out there. And Kate's gonna talk about a lot to add
to what you already put out there, right? Love onlinedbtcourses.com. I know there are other free peer support groups that have been mentioned in the Facebook group, so I would suggest maybe just posting asking if there are groups that people run or are aware of. That said, Heartfelt Mental Health, which is my mental health care clinic that I run, we do have a drop-in social hour, like DBT social hour. As Michelle was saying, it's not a place to go and learn DBT. It is assumed that you're coming in with some previous knowledge of DBT, so just to make it clear what that space is for. But it's a place to connect with other people, right? Be in community, like Michelle was saying. Be able to say, hey, I'm struggling with this skill, or how do you guys do this? Or, hey, I had this situation, what skill do you think I could have used there? Right? Sharing successes, asking questions, and just, yeah, being in community and in conversation with other people who are working on these skills, trying to utilize them in their life. Etc. So it's not a short little link like the onlinedbtcourses.com. So, pardon me. And then a yawn hits me, of course, in the middle. I asked Michelle really nicely to put a link in the show notes for the Eventbrite. It is free. It is peer led by someone who has gone through my DBT groups. His name is Randy. He's delightful. Randy, shout out to you because I know you're going to listen to this sometime. It's not a learning, it's not an online DBT group in that sense, but if you're just looking for a place to stay on top of your skills or hear the lived experience of other people who are trying to make use of them, it's a great space for that.
Perfect. Okay. We're already to the last one.
Oh my goodness. Somehow, let's go. Some way.
Okay. This one says, does Dear Man apply for disappointment you have in another person? Maybe a service you received that was crappy, that they put in parentheses, judgment. Maybe how someone treated you was ineffective. I have a very, very hard time with this. Is there a formula for communicating disappointment that I can use in the moment? It would be a phrase that gets out how I feel whether or not they respond productively. It's too easy to say judgmental and sensing phrasing, which can make the conflict worse. My goal is to just say how I feel to maintain self-respect. Thanks.
Awesome. I love this question.
Yeah, it's a really good one.
Right? Because I also struggle with giving voice to my emotions, and it can often feel like it comes from a place of not having self-respect, etc. So I have a lot of empathy for that person's struggle. I'm going to try real hard to say what I'm going to say without saying the exact thing that Michelle's going to say later, but I think we overlap and agree a lot, so just, there's consensus. Which is to say, I do think you could use Dear Man in that fashion, right? Just following the usual formula, right? I mean, if we're taking like the service idea, it can be like, you know, it was disappointing. It impacted me in this way. Please do it differently in the future. I would be more likely to come back as a customer and recommend you if you did. Right? Something short and sweet and simple. And to the point. So I do think that Dear Man is something that is allowed. What the fuck is my mouth doing today? That's the weirdest word to put in there. I think it is, could be effective. There you go. That's what I'm looking for. In that space, right? One of the nice things about it is that it's supposed to be brief. It's supposed to be factual, right? Ideally only a sentence or two and things that everyone involved can agree with other than, you know, the subjective experience that's part of E. Nobody has to agree with how it impacted you. That's yours. You get to keep that one. So yeah, I think Dear Man actually could be a good, what's the word I'm looking for? Formula. Or is that the word, phrase that they use?
They said the word formula. Yeah,
right? Yeah. I think that could be a formula to use for communicating disappointment. That being said, I do think also you could make an argument for putting fast in that space, depending, right? Like, Dear Man is very much about trying to get something to happen, right? Like, you're asking for a change to, you know, do something different in the future, things like that. And so if you're not actually asking for something, if there's not a suggestion, if there's not a thing, you're just trying to keep your self-respect, right? Because that's what you say. I'm feeling, you know, I want to say how I feel to maintain self-respect. Fast is literally about self-respect and maintaining your self-respect and self-value. So if that's just what you're wanting to lean into, and no offense to the other person, but kind of fuck the other person, you're not looking for them to change, you're not looking for them to respond, like you don't really need much of anything from them. You're just needing to state something to make sure that you're giving voice to your experience. I do think that there's an argument to be made for fast being another good, if not sometimes potentially better, option. I mm-hmm. hope I didn't steal everything you were trying to say.
You didn't, I don't think. I'm actually going to heavily revise some of the things I originally wrote down because, so true fact, you all, Kate and I wrote these notes a long time ago.
That's true.
Where we were planning to hopefully record this Q&A, I think back in September. So, of course, we reread them before pressing the record button today, but this is what happens a lot. We read the actual thing in the moment while we're recording, and I'm like, hold on a second. I missed that before. I didn't quite hit the nail on the head. So
it's true. I end up saying very different things than I put in my notes because I'm like, oh, I misinterpreted that, or I want to say something different now. That definitely happens from time to time.
Yes, that is what happened with me. So I will get there. But I think the main thing I wanted to start off with is I don't know. I really wanted to validate like where this listener was coming from, because I think a lot of people struggle with this. I know I do. And you were saying this as well, Kate, where it's like you want to say how you feel, but you want it to feel somewhat productive. And like they said in what they posted, they were like, it's not about how the other person responds. Like, that's not my goal, which is fantastic. But I just want it to be that I am articulating myself and voicing how this impacted me in the best way that I possibly can. So it's awesome. Because what I wrote down is like, sometimes airing grievances just for the sake of airing them doesn't feel very good. It just feels like we're complaining without a purpose and just be like, I didn't like that. The end. Right? There's nothing wrong with that, but it doesn't quite get you to your goal. I think it's also really important to applaud you, listener, for saying, like, you really emphasize that your goal is not to try to get somebody else to change and to not focus on their response. And I wanted to highlight that because sometimes I think that is our sneaky goal when we are airing grievances, right? What we're hoping for is that the person we are voicing that to will hear our grievance and go, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. I want to make that right. How can I fix it? We want that response. Sometimes we get that. Sometimes we don't. And sometimes if deep down we're really hoping for that and we don't get it, then we just feel even angrier than we did before we named the thing that bothered us. So proud of you there for saying like, nope, that's not really my goal either. Because I know sometimes that can that can be a goal deep down. So what I was thinking of, okay, if your goal is just to use your voice and articulate your values, how can we do that in the best way possible? And this is where I would say that I'm about to revise things, because I gave some examples here, but I realized they were all past tense. And this listener specifically says, is there a formula for communicating disappointment that I can use in the moment?
That's true.
How could I do it in the moment? So I had written down such things as, I felt disappointed when blank happened, right? But I said, but that could leave something to be desired. You can even make that better as, when blank happened, I felt disappointed. Next time I would like it if blank could happen. That would feel better to me. And I was kind of thinking about specifically because they mentioned the example of like if you received crappy service, like you could say something like, that would feel like better service to me as the customer, which is kind of the R from Dear Man. But I want to revise all of that because none of that is present tense. So what I'm really thinking you could do, like when I imagine this playing out and you're in the moment, and I don't know, let's say you are at a restaurant, right? And you're noticing that you're starting to feel disappointed, irritated, whatever, about the service that you're receiving, if we go with that example. What can you say, right? How do you express that? And I think maybe how you could do that is just saying something like, I'm noticing that I'm starting to feel bothered by this. Whatever the this is, right? You get to fill in the blank there. I'm starting to feel bothered by how long it's taking for our food to come, right? Or I'm trying to think of like a non-service-based example. Like if you're just talking with a friend, and I don't know if they said something that like landed as a little hurtful for you, to be able to just be like, that hurt my feelings just now, what you said. Right? Just finding a way to name it like that. That's part one. Right? Then if we take it a step further, and I'm not necessarily using Dear Man here, but Dear Man, in essence, is all about making a request. So I'm not hitting on all of the components of Dear Man and the suggestions that I'm giving. But if you're able to follow it up with what you would like, right? So if you're at a restaurant, it's taking a long time for your food to come, and you express to your wait staff, hey, I'm noticing that I'm starting to feel a little bothered by how long our food is taking. Okay. Second piece, are you able to go check with the kitchen and see how much longer it might be? Right? And then come back and give us a time estimate. That could be something that maybe would be helpful. If you're talking with a friend and they said something that was hurtful, right? To be able to say, oh, that hurt my feelings just now when you said that. I think all I'm really needing is truly, can you just listen for a moment? Right? Or you could even say, I think deep down what I was hoping I'd hear from you is blank. Right? Something like that. Again, it's not that the other person is going to magically do exactly what we want them to do. They may not, but we are at least giving a sense of direction. And you are asking for what you would like, which is, again, what Dear Man is about. It's not just saying, hey, I'm bothered by this. It's saying, hey, this is bothering me. Can we try to work together on this? Are you open to joining me in solving this thing that I am now naming for you as a problem? Because the other person's not going to know it's probably a problem unless you name it. And again, maybe they'll join with you, maybe they won't, but you want to offer that invitation. You don't, I think, again, want to just leave it at, this is bothering me, the end. Right? Work together to figure out, you have to know internally what would help you feel less bothered, and then be able to articulate that and ask for it. So I'm definitely shortening the Dear Man format by a lot. And I mean, I love the Dear Man format. I do. I think the Dear Man formula is amazing. But also when, again, you're kind of stating that you're more like, it sounds to me anyways, like it's making the request maybe isn't the hard part. And I think sometimes with Dear Man, what can be hard is like knowing what request you want to make and feeling confident making it. But I get the sense from this listener, the hardest letter for them in the Dear Man is the E. That's the hardest. Mm-hmm. It's the hardest letter is the express of just like, I don't like this, right? Being able to express that in an effective way. So I really think you can just boil it down to the E and the A. And you can maybe leave off the rest.
In a fast way? Is that, are we just shoving it together? EA in fast way? I don't know.
Basically, yeah, because I totally agree with what you were saying at the end about like, yeah, fast definitely works here. I kind of thought that same thing.
Right, even being though I fair, did not apologizing for having the disappointment or complaint, right? Sticking to your own values, blah, 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 right? Like, I think definitely you can apply being truthful. As a lens, sort of, no matter what else you're doing in the moment.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, that's what I would think about. The other random thing that I honed in on when I read this at first glance, which I'll say it because why not? Even though again, it doesn't speak to the communicating disappointment in the moment, which is why again, I realized, well, I wrote that down, but it doesn't really address it. But I think this can be a good intermittent, like in the middle step a little bit. If like the examples that I gave, of course, I say those, and they probably sounded pretty easy when I said them, you know. Hey, I'm noticing I'm starting to feel bothered that our food is taking a long time to come. It sounds easy.
Hard to do in the moment.
Hard to do in the moment. Very hard to do in the moment. So I'll throw this out there for people who are maybe like, I'm just wanting to work on voicing feelings of disappointment in general. Doing it in the moment feels like expert level. I'm not at expert level yet, but how can I practice so that I can just get more comfortable voicing the thing, even if I'm voicing it after the fact? And again, because this listener mentioned maybe a service that you received was crappy, great way to do that is on feedback surveys. To be honest, I would encourage you to just get in the practice of, you know, if let's say you did receive some crappy service, go on to the feedback survey, voice that. For some people, it's definitely easier to voice something in writing than verbally. Write it out and see again if you can write it in a way that's not, as this listener put it, judgmental and sensing phrasing.
I like that.
How can you just practice? Yeah, it really is a good word. How could you write out your concerns in a way that, again, is pretty non-judgmental? That, I think, is a good middle ground step if you want to practice this, because I know what I'm suggesting is incredibly difficult in the moment. I get it. It's hard. It's very hard.
Simple and easy are not the same concept.
Yeah, exactly. So don't feel bad if you find yourself expressing it after the fact. At least you're expressing it. And don't feel bad if you're expressing it in writing rather than verbally. Just make it as small of a step as you need to say something, is what I would suggest.
I like it. Well, I think that's it. That's us.
That's it.
That's the Heinz 57. No, the... It's like a tomato catch-up of episodes. No. I have no idea what to do for 58, so whatever, man. We're going to run out of this quick. My brain will always try. I'll tell you that much. I know my brain well enough to know that it will try to find something for everyone. We will be in the hundreds, and I will still be trying to figure out something special about the number.
And I will let it go myself.
That's fine.
I'll put that on you if you want to take it out.
I will carry the torch.
Yeah, there you go.
By which I mean, this is just something my weirdo brain can't let go of, so I might as well embrace it. Yep. But we will be back with whatever the fuck 58 will be at some point. Glad, as Michelle was saying, to get back to the Q&As. If you would like your information, I cannot fucking talk today. If you would like your questions, comments, etc. to be included in a future Q&A, you can do that in several different ways. One, you can email us, dbtandmepodcast@gmail.com. Several, it's really two, because you can also get on the Facebook group and put comments in there, posts, etc. We take a lot of our material for Q&As from the Facebook group. So love to hear from you guys. Excited to get back into Q&As more regularly as the months go on, and we'll talk to you soon. Did I forget we'll something? We've been so out of practice. Did I get it this time?
I think you got it. You're good.
All right, guys, we will talk to you soon.
All right. Bye.
To learn more about us and the DBT skills we're teaching each week, join our Facebook group. Simply log in to your Facebook profile and search for DBT and Me Podcast.